What's up, Eagle Country? Happy Monday to you, and thank you for tuning in to another edition of Crunch Time, presented by OrthoCincy and Sports Medicine, the orthopedic authority for work, sports, and everyday injuries, accepting walk-ins, or you can go online to schedule your next appointment at OrthoCincy.com. That's OrthoCincy.com. I am Double T, Travis Thayer, your host. Looking forward to another 30 minutes of nonstop sports conversation, running down all the latest in hometown sports with a focus on our high school student athletes in the area. Plenty to get to on the show. As always, we're going to talk a little track and field to start things off as conference meets took place last week. There were some record-breaking performances. Definitely want to get into that. Girls tennis did have the EIAC conference meet over the weekend. I want to talk a little EIAC and ORVC baseball and softball, and we'll see what else we can maybe fit in at the end of the show as well. But let's start in track and field. As I mentioned, the EIAC and ORVC conference meets happening last week. Six new records between the two events, five in the EIAC and one in the ORVC. I want to say congratulations to the East Central girls track and field team as they were crowned the conference champs, 186 points total, outdoing Batesville, who came in second with 112, Greensburg in third, Lawrenceburg in fourth, Connersville fifth, Rushville sixth, Franklin County seventh, and South Dearborn in eighth on the girls side of things. Boys conference champ in track and field in the EIAC was Batesville, 127.33 points, beating out second place Lawrenceburg, who scored 94.5 points. Connersville right behind Lawrenceburg in third. Franklin County was fifth. Rushville sixth. South Dearborn seventh. East Central was eighth. So, East Central was seventh and Greensburg was eighth. Kind of got mixed up there a little bit, but Batesville, the champion on the boys' side of things in the EIAC. And I want to talk about some of those notable individual winners, and I want to start with the new record holders in the EIAC on the girls' side. Hope Fox out of East Central, 100-meter hurdles, 15.41 seconds, breaking the conference record, which was previously held by an East Central student-athlete as well. Ashley Wilhelm actually held that record since 2001. Her time was 15.64. So Hope Fox shaving a couple tenths of a second off of that record, setting the new record in the 100 meter hurdles. Hope was also a part of the 4x100 relay team at East Central that won the conference championship in that event and set a new record. Ellie Hill, Anna Graff, and Rachel Campbell, the other three, a part of that team. 50.26 seconds for this East Central team, breaking the previous record set by four individuals from East Central back in 2018. 50.29 was the record, so barely broke that record, but it is still a record nonetheless for Hope Fox, Ellie Hill, Anna Graff, and Rachel Campbell, conference champs and record setters in the 4x100 relay. Obviously, with East Central's girls winning the track and field conference championship, they had plenty of individual winners. Rachel Campbell was the conference champ in the 800 meter. Annabelle McDonald won the 1600 meter, and Emma Hartley was the 3200 meter winner for East Central. Hope Fox, who broke the record in the 100 meter hurdles, she also won the 300 meter hurdles. And then, the beat went on for East Central as Anna Graff, Lana Davis, Ellie Hill, and Rachel Campbell won the 4x400 relay. You had Ashton Gindling, Addie Brewer, Annabelle McDonald, and Rachel Campbell winning the 4x800. And Ellie Hill was the high jump and long jump winner at the EIAC meet. And the only other notable individual winner from an area school here in Eagle Country in the EIAC was Lawrenceburg's Lucy Thornton, who won the 100-meter dash 12.98 seconds. That's absolutely flying. So congratulations to all those young ladies who won a conference championship in a particular event or as a team, as East Central did. On the boys' side of things, three records were set. The first that I want to talk about is Chad Cox from Franklin County. He's a big-time basketball star. Let's not get that confused at all. I think a lot of people know that, and if you've seen him play, he can jump 6 feet 7 inches, new EIAC record in the high jump. That was a record that was previously held by a man from Batesville, David Gow, who set that record back in 1983. So that had been very, very long-standing record that Chad Cox now holds. And then Leo Maxwell from East Central broke two records, one in the shot put that was previously held by Mark Paris back in 1988, of course, the father of Mason Paris. And then Leo broke his own record in the discus that he set last year. So two new records for Leo Maxwell, and he has a strong chance to make a deep run in both of those events at the state level, as he has done in the past. But some of the other individual winners that we want to talk about: Christian Stortz from Franklin County, he won the 200 and 400 meter. Benjamin Moster, who was the MVP of the EIAC, he won in the 800 and 1600 meter. Team from Lawrenceburg: Hayden Saylor, Luke Thornton, Braden Combs, Daya Patel, a lot of guys that play wide receiver. They won the 4x100 relay. The 4x400 relay was won by Batesville. Again, Benjamin Moster, Darren Smith, Vonley Hurd, and Eli Pearson. Another Batesville group, Ian Leuchinger, Isaac Trotman, Darren Smith, and Moster again winning in the 4x800, and then Jacob Schatzel from Franklin County, the long jump winner, to run down some of the big individual winners at the EIAC meet. Now, we want to shift gears and talk about the ORVC track and field meet. This was held at Switzerland County last week. South Ripley was the winner on the girls' side. 133 was their final score. Switzerland County in second place at 132. So obviously a very, very tight race there, no pun intended. Jackson Dell finishing third, Shaw Memorial in fourth, Mile in fifth, Southwestern in sixth, and Rising Sun in seventh. On the boys' side, Southwestern, the champs, holding off Milan and South Ripley, who placed in the top three. Rising Sun finished fourth, Jackson Dell fifth, Switzerland County sixth, and Shaw Memorial seventh in the boys' competition. Some of the notable winners: want to start on the girls' side with Lainey Nicholson out of South Ripley, the 800-meter champion. New ORVC record, 2 minutes, 26 seconds, and that record was previously held by Switzerland County's Shannon Anders, who set that record back in 1991. So again, a lot of these records had been held up for quite some time, and no longer in those six events that I just talked about. Chloe Simon from Jackson Dell, the winner in the 100 meter. Her teammate Kayla Simon won the 400 meter. Raylan Capps from Switzerland County was the 200 meter champion. Claire Rogers from Switzerland County as well, the 1600 meter winner. Lainey Nicholson, not a record setter in this one, but won the 3,200 meter. And she had to run for over 12 minutes to get through that race. I don't even know if I could run 12 minutes right now. That actually kind of hurts me even talking about. Emily Flood was the 100-meter hurdles winner. Chloe Simon, again from Jackson Dell, a 300-meter hurdle winner. In the 4x100 relay, Switzerland County's team of Carly Bennett, Megan Wetzel, Brooklyn Flanders, and Raylan Capps won that one. Switzerland County's 4x400 relay team was also a conference champ. Brooklyn Flanders again, Alicia Detmer, Megan Wetzel, and Grace White. From South Ripley, their 4x800 relay team winning the conference title, Lainey Nichols, Emily Campbell, Virginia Minch, and Shelby Baston. And then Emma Newhart was the champion in the discus from Jackson Dell. Individual winners on the boys' side of things: there was no records broken in the boys' ORVC track and field meet, but Benjamin Reilly from Milan, the 400-meter winner. Aiden Potts, his teammate, won the 800 and the 1600. Josh Poley from Jackson Dell, the 3,200-meter winner. From Rising Sun, Dylan Martin won the 100-meter hurdles, while Mason Green from Milan won the 300-meter hurdles. Rising Sun's 4x400 relay team of Dylan Martin, Kendall Montgomery, Damon Kerrigan, and Peyton Merica were champions. Switzerland County's Nathan Furnish, Derek Hoskins, Dylan Sullivan, and Cooper Hahn won the 4x800. William Tunney from South Ripley, the high jump champ. Kendall Montgomery, again from Rising Sun, won the long jump. And then Ryan Miller from South Ripley, the shot put winner, while Corbin White from Jackson Dell won in the discus. And of course, as the conference and regular season has come to the end, all these area track teams now going to turn their focus to the sectional, which is going to start on Thursday this week. Sectional 24 will take place at East Central. Will also feature Batesville, Franklin County, Greensburg, Jackson Dell, Lawrenceburg, Milan, North Decatur, Oldenburg, Rising Sun, South Dearborn, South Decatur, and South Ripley. And if you're not familiar with how the sectional works and how teams and individuals will advance on, first, second, and third place sectional winners, all in individual individual events and relays, plus any individual relay team meeting the three participant standard in the sectional finals of their event will move on. If the top three finishers plus the three participant standard advancers in an event is less than 16, the next best performances from the corresponding sectional shall be added to bring the total number of entrants to 16 in each event, that being for the regional. An individual or relay team shall not advance to the regional from the sectional finals unless the time is recorded by fully automatic timing. That, again, is the standard in the practice from the IHSAA as we get into the sectional, and these teams try to advance on into the regional. You are listening to Crunch Time, presented by OrthoSensi Orthopedics and Sports Medicine. Dr. Ron Auer, Dr. Brian Whistle, and Dr. Roman Trimba are located right here in Lawrenceburg, so it's easy to find the orthopedic specialist you need close to home, orthosensi.com. Move the focus to girls tennis. East Central has three-peated as EIAC champions, going 7-0 in the conference. And then this past weekend, the beat kind of went on for some of the Lady Trojans at the EIAC meet. Heidi Kane defeated Lawrenceburg's Ellie McMullen 6-1, 6-1 in the number one singles championship as Heidi went on to be the EIAC MVP. Peyton Pies is the number two singles champ in the EIAC, defeating Abigail Hoeing from Greensburg 6-1, 6-2. So East Central wins in number one singles and number two singles. The team of Elizabeth Kirchgastner and Michelle Botta finished as the runner-up in number one doubles. They fell 7-5, 6-0 to Ella McAndrew and Lola Safivian from Lawrenceburg. 7-5 and then 6-0. I wonder if a little fatigue set in for the East Central gals after that first and lengthy set, as Lawrenceburg's team would go on to win at number one doubles. But your all-conference team, Heidi Kane, as I mentioned, the MVP, Ellie McMullen from Lawrenceburg, Peyton Pies from East Central, Josie Nobby from Greensburg, Ella McAndrew, and Lola Safivian from Lawrenceburg, and then Morgan Kane and Haley Duerstock from Greensburg, making up the EIAC all-conference team in girls tennis. And the 47th annual Girls Tennis State Tournament Pairing Show going to happen tonight at 7 p.m. You can catch that on IHSAATV.org. And Sectional 16 is going to feature East Central, Batesville, Lawrenceburg, Milan, Oldenburg Academy, and South Dearborn. So looking forward to seeing which teams are paired against one another. So we are getting into that time of the year where sectional play is right around the corner in all of these great spring sports. But in the EIAC and ORVC, in terms of baseball and softball, we're getting down to the nitty-gritty to see who the conference champs are going to be. And there is still a little work to be done for some area teams to either close out a conference championship or for teams behind those teams to move up and maybe vie for a tie or a solo conference championship win. Starting in the EIAC with the baseball standings, Batesville is having an absolutely phenomenal season at 17-4 overall. They are 12-0 in the EIAC and currently in the driver's seat, obviously, to win the conference. They do have two more conference games against South Dearborn before they meet them in the first round of sectional play, but it was another conference win over the weekend for Batesville, 6-3 over Lawrenceburg, behind a home run from Jacob Meir and a strong outing on the mound from Charlie Shebler, who went six innings, gave up three earned runs, and struck out eight. And a big win for Batesville there because they were able to beat Drew Lanning of Lawrenceburg, best strikeout pitcher in the area statistically, and he had 14 strikeouts over five innings, did give up two earned runs. But Batesville, a little bit more offensive firepower in that game as they win 6-3 to improve to 12-0 in the conference. Now, East Central is behind them a couple games. They're 14-6 overall. They're 10-2 in the EIAC, and they get Lawrenceburg twice this week. They need to beat the Tigers both times and get some help from South Dearborn in order to have at least a share of the EIAC championship. And South Dearborn, while they're having a great season at 14-5 and 9-3 in the EIAC, they are mathematically out of the running to win the EIAC, but they can prevent Batesville from winning it outright if they can knock them off two games at the end of the regular season schedule, which is coming to an end this week. I think the thing for South Dearborn, though, is I don't know if they're so much as concerned about playing spoiler in the EIAC race. I think they want to just continue playing good baseball and build momentum going into the sectional first round where they will meet Batesville. So obviously that's going to be the game that is on their mind and is the most key importance. So it's going to be really interesting to see how the season rounds out. Again, Batesville's just been really, really strong. So they really just have to split between the two games against South Dearborn, and they will be the the outright EIAC champion in baseball. And it looks like Southwestern is in a similar position in the ORVC as they're 9-1 in the conference. They do have games against Milan and Switzerland County to round out the season. Rising Sun is two games back in the win and loss column. They'll play at South Ripley and at Jacksonville. I like this Rising Sun team, and on paper should be favorites in those two games to round out the regular season, but they obviously need some help as well if they want to have at least a share of the ORVC. So they need to root for Milan and root for Switzerland County to knock off Southwestern. Both of those teams will have to win to help out Rising Sun, and Milan and Switzerland County would be helping out their own cause as well, because they're only two games back in the loss column in the ORVC. So they might be able to play a little spoiler here. Milan has the must-win game against Southwestern. They also play Switzerland County on Thursday, so those two teams might cancel each other out. Southwestern, obviously, much in the driver's seat, as they just need to win one of their last two conference games to be the outright ORVC champion. Taking a look at the ORVC in softball, big, big game this evening. South Ripley, 14-2 overall. They're 8-1 in the conference. And Rising Sun's right there as well, 16-2 overall, 7-1 in the ORVC. And for South Ripley, this is it. They win tonight, they're going to be the conference champion. Rising Sun, if they win tonight, they're in the driver's seat, but also have a game against Jacksonville looming as well. So they're in a position where they control their own destiny as well. But that should be a fantastic game between two really, really good teams coming up this evening, South Ripley and Rising Sun. And I tell you what, they have had they had a good weekend. Rising Sun held off Switzerland County, 6-5 win behind Cora Poling on the mound. She tossed 9 innings, struck out 6. She also had 2 ribbies at the plate, essentially out-dueling Lily Sparks. This was a great pitching matchup. Lily went 8 2/3 innings. She struck out 11, but Rising Sun wins it in the end, 6-5. South Ripley, they scored 10 runs in a win over Southwestern over the weekend. They continue to get great contributions from Maddie Tompkins and Ellie Waldron, who combined to throw a one-hitter in that game. Emily Campbell, Brooklyn Brown, among others, good at the plate. Campbell and Brown both had 3 ribbies in that game against Southwestern to, again, stay at the top of the standings. So it is South Ripley and Rising Sun. Theirs to lose. Those are the two teams that have a chance to win the ORVC. Switzerland County, 5-3 in the conference. They just have the 2 games left. They're not going to be able to mathematically win the conference and get a share, anything like that. So, good luck to South Ripley and Rising Sun this evening. Can't wait to see how that one plays out. And in the EIAC, Connersville has wrapped up the conference championship 12-0 in the conference. And mentioned it, sectional play is right around the corner, and we'll start up next week. Actually, game's going to be played on Monday next week, so we will certainly be talking about that on next week's show. While we're on the topic of baseball and softball, there was a really cool story that I came across on social media from last week, where Lawrenceburg and East Central were playing a JV softball game, and this game was only planned to be 3 innings. The Tigers have had some injury problems, specifically with their pitchers. So they had a pitcher out there that was pitching for the first time. And East Central, we know they got a great program. Their softball team has done very, very well. So this young lady who's pitching for the first time, she's in there pitching her heart out, gave up 4 runs, and the Tigers are trailing. And at that moment, it's when a young lady from the East Central team, her name is Montana, volunteered to pitch for the Tigers against her own team, and she actually struck out many of her own players, actually went up to bat and hit a 3-run homer for the Tigers. So a pretty remarkable story, not something that you hear happening a whole bunch. This was obviously a game that was only scheduled to go 3 innings, and it kind of could have been over really quickly and unmercifully, considering some of the inexperience that the Tigers had on their side. So having this young lady from EC volunteer to go over to the other side and say, "Hey, that's all right, I got you, let's keep playing, let's keep having some fun out here, and let's just play for the love of the game," because I think that's how I would sum up this story, is this is just, hey, I want to play, I want to continue to play, and if I have to play for the other team, I am going to do that, because this is what we came out here to do. We don't want this cut short this evening. We want to have every opportunity that we can to get up to the bat, take our cuts at the plate, get on base, run around the bases, score some runs, be out in the field, fielding the ball, making some throws, making some plays, and I love to hear that. Because I do know that we sometimes get lost in the who's winning, who's losing, who has the stats, who doesn't have the stats. And I know it's easy to get caught up in that, because I'm not saying that that doesn't matter. But at the high school level, I think sometimes we have to take a step back and just appreciate that these kids are out playing a game that they love, and they're doing so with their friends, and they're learning some valuable lessons along the way as well. I know that I took a lot of lessons actually from my days playing sports growing up that I apply to everyday life. I think it's great. I would encourage anybody to get into a sport or an extracurricular, something where you just have responsibility and accountability and are a part of a team, because you can take a lot of those lessons forward. But I wanted to make sure that I mentioned this story because I saw it, I thought it was awesome, and it needed to be shared, because the sportsmanship here is absolutely unbelievable. And the fact that the young lady for B Central did so well for the opposing team, that's pretty cool in its own right as well. So just a phenomenal story. I'm glad I caught wind of this on social media, and maybe you had already heard of it. Maybe you were even there, and it might end up being one of the coolest things you see at a sporting event, not only this year, but in your entire life. So pretty cool stuff. Well done by East Central and Lawrenceburg for allowing that moment to happen and letting these young ladies continue to stay out on the field and play the game that they love and hopefully have some fun, because I think that is a little bit about what it's about at the high school level. So I just wanted to make sure that I shared that here this evening. You are listening to Crunch Time, presented by OrthoSensi Orthopedics and Sports Medicine, the orthopedic authority for work, sports, and everyday injuries, orthosensi.com. Next up, I want to say congratulations to Lawrenceburg High School senior Jackson Bobo, who recently announced his commitment to Hanover College, where he will continue his basketball and obviously academic career. And Jackson Bobo, this is a young man I've gotten to see his entire high school career as he started playing as a freshman, got some minutes there, here and there, as it's not often you have a freshman come through with that kind of size. You know, the 6'8 frame, the long arms, the ability to block and alter shots defensively, and then obviously there's the offensive skill set as well. Can obviously score down low, whether it's a post move, an offensive rebound, and a putback, getting out in transition and slamming the ball through the rim, and has a pretty decent shot mid-range and outside too. Even though we didn't see him shoot a ton of threes in his career, he's a certainly capable shooter. But this is a young man that got better each and every year. As you jump into his sophomore year, you started to see the points and the rebounds and the blocks go up as he got more minutes. Junior season, he was a near double-double guy with 9 points per game and 9 rebounds. And then you jump to the senior year, over 12.5 points per game, nearly 7 rebounds per game, and almost 3 blocks, as he was trying to erase anything at the rim. And Jackson obviously played a big part in Lawrenceburg winning their first sectional title. And over a decade earlier this year, Tigers went down to the regional playing at Washington High School and gave Evansville Bossy a heck of a game. Tigers were in it for much of that game and proved that they deserve to be on that level. And I think Jackson Bobo had a lot to do with that. But very, very cool to see him committing to Hanover. Not going to be too far down the road. Going to be easy for friends and family, I assume, to go down and see him play some games. That's a place I'm very familiar with. Used to go to a lot of basketball camps down there. I like their facilities, and they have a good program down there. And I certainly think Jackson's got a chance to continue growing his game. And one thing I've learned about him over the past 4 years is that he does love the game of basketball, and he does spend a lot of time working on his craft. So we wish him nothing but the best as he moves on to Hanover College. I know I could probably get into some of the accolades that Jackson accumulated during his high school career, but right now just want to take the time to say congratulations, and we wish you nothing but the best as you move forward and continue your basketball and academic career at Hanover College. We'll definitely be excited to see your progress down at Hanover. All right, so we're moving into the final few moments of the show this evening. I am going to transition into some pro sports because I've gotten through all of the other stuff that I wanted to talk about. So I want to talk a little Reds and FC Cincinnati. It is that time of the year. I don't know if this is many people's forte following these teams. The Reds, a team that maybe you don't want to follow right now because, well, they are having trouble winning games. And yesterday, they did something that I didn't even think was possible. They became the sixth team in Major League Baseball history to not allow a hit and lose. Now, I guess the positive from this game is Hunter Green was a part of this combined no-hitter with Art Warren. He went 7-plus innings, not giving up a hit, playing against Pittsburgh on Sunday, so it's very intriguing to see him starting to throw the baseball a little bit better over his last couple of starts, because the start prior to those last two starts, he got roughed up pretty good in Milwaukee, so he's making adjustments on the mound and coming along during his rookie season. But the Pirates end up scoring on a fielder's choice in the bottom of the eighth. Reds only managed four hits and left nine on base, so they are now 9-26, the worst record in the bigs and the only team with single-digit wins. And it just so happens that it's one of those years. The Reds already stink. Can't hardly win a game, and then they do something like this where they don't allow a hit and still lose. Seems appropriate for this team this year, as they are not going anywhere positive anytime quick. But conversely, you can say the complete opposite for FC Cincinnati. This is a team that finished dead last in the MLS 3 years in a row, but they are nowhere near last right now because, I'm going to get to that in just a second. They are on a tear. Orange and Blue have now won four league matches in a row. That's something they have never done. They'd have never won three in a row, but the beat keeps on going for FC Cincinnati. They now have 6 wins, 5 losses, and 1 draw. They are tied for the most wins in the Eastern Conference. That gives them 19 points in the table. They're in fourth place, behind only Montreal, Orlando, and Philly, who all have 20 points at the top of the table. So this has been a drastic change for Cincinnati, FC Cincinnati, and it just goes to show you that proper management can go a long way. That's something that Reds fans think the club doesn't have, but FC Cincinnati does. They have a lot of familiar faces from a season ago that finished on a team that was last in the league, but in comes the new general manager and Chris Albright. He has a winning pedigree from his time with Philadelphia. They are perennially at the top of the Eastern Conference, or so it seems, and they're there again this year. They also kind of steal Pat Noonan away from Philadelphia as well, as he was serving as an assistant coach there. He's also a former MLS player that has won the MLS Cup several times, whether it be as a player or an assistant coach. So these are guys that know how to win in the MLS. They know what it takes to build a roster and how to deploy that roster, changing the rotation of the lineup between game to game. Sometimes you got to give other guys a chance to play. What formation are you bringing out tactically? How are you having your team play? And it just seems like Pat Noonan has a way better idea of what he's doing than former FC Cincinnati coaches in the past, particularly Jaap Stam, who was their last coach, who would play the same 11 guys every time, and all they did was set back and play defense. It's like they were scared to move the ball forward because they thought that if they lost the ball, they were going to automatically get scored on a counterattack, and I'm not disagreeing with that notion. But anyway, Albright's moves have been awesome, improving the roster. He's freed up a lot of financial flexibility for this team. And then Pat Noonan, as I mentioned, is just punching all the right buttons with the lineups and the formations. He has a willingness to play young guys, give them the opportunity to play. Right now they have two rookies, goalkeeper Roman Salentano, who played at Indiana University, who is absolutely on a tear in goal. I don't know if we were ever going to see him play, but the number one goalkeeper, Alec Cann, gets hurt. Salentano comes in, and I don't think you can take Salentano out of goal. He's played so well. Ian Murphy, another first-round draft pick out of Duke. He's been playing center back, and he's been playing so exceptionally well that it's hard to imagine a lineup without him in it, just to name a few players. But it's just night and day with this team, where they were last year and the 2 years prior, and then all of a sudden you get this general manager change, you get this coaching change, and they have a system and a philosophy, and they've worked together before, and it is just clicking right now. And you partner that with an ownership group that has a willingness to spend money and bring in players that they need to improve the team, and you have a winning recipe right now, and the players are going out and executing as well. So it's beautiful to see. It is fun to watch soccer again. It's fun to watch this team that captured the heart of the city of Cincinnati just a few years back when they were in the USL and they made this incredible run in the US Open Cup and they were knocking off MLS teams. The fan base was going crazy and the fan base basically built this team up and got them into the MLS. And now they're finally starting to see this team click a little bit. And again, it is fun to watch them play, see if they can keep it rolling on Saturday at home against New England. But right now, if you are an FC Cincinnati fan, have yourself some fun. We haven't been able to do this over the past 3 years, so I am certainly excited about it, and hopefully they can keep it up and stay in that playoff race through the summer and really make it worth watching the rest of this year, because I'm not so sure that baseball is worth paying attention to as of right now, even though I hate to be that type of fan. But appreciate you tuning into Crunch Time. As always, big thanks to OrthoSensi Orthopedics and Sports Medicine for their continued sponsorship. Make sure you're checking out all their services, and you can even schedule appointments online at orthosensi.com. Next week, a lot of sectional play coming right around the corner, so we're going to get into that and anything else that might pop up in hometown sports, as we always do, right here on Crunch Time, heard at Eagle Country 99.3 and at EagleCountryOnline.com.